Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa DeYoung. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in. Hi, folks, and welcome back to the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. In this episode, I would love to chat with you guys about a different topic today. And it's something that only really came to my awareness relatively recently. And it's something I'm really curious about. I think it's going to be a short episode. It's more like a little reflection together that we can have and something to take away for the week and just to very gently, in the back of our minds, reflect on and be curious about. So here it is. The topic is, as you know from the title, suppressing positive emotions. The reason why this got my attention a few months ago, was because I think I was reading something and across my mind, and I am very aware in my work that when we suppress our negative emotions, that's such a common thing that happens, and we do it for all sorts of reasons, survival reasons, or maybe we weren't taught to have a relationship with our emotions. And in my work, I'm always curious about my clients' relationship with their emotions and their feelings, how they experience them. You know, some people experience emotions very differently, so that's very important for me to get clear on, is how my client themselves experiences their feelings and whether they use language or sounds or movement to be able to communicate their feelings, how they're communicating their feelings consciously or unconsciously in themselves and out in the world and in relationships, and any kind of thoughts and beliefs they have about their feelings. And I'll give you an example. Last year, I had a client who came to me for help with the mind-body connection and her journey with PMDD. And when I asked her about her relationship with her emotions, she was a bit stunned because I don't think anyone had really ever asked her that before, which is often the case. And anyway, what unfolded was that she hadn't really been consciously in touch with her feelings because having, in that case, like the difficult emotions, such as grief or anger or sadness or fear, were seen as dangerous in her family because she'd gone through a very difficult time in her life with her mental health a few years prior to working with me. And she ended up being in a mental health hospital. And she had a bad experience there, and she didn't feel like, even though she got help and she was treated, she didn't feel like she was able to access her vitality while she was there. And anyway, she left the hospital when she was released, and she developed a fear of going back. So she developed this fear of being put there again against her will, and her relationship with her difficult emotions meant that when she became in touch with them, she would then risk having to go back to somewhere she didn't want to go. And that for her wasn't helpful. So I can see how that can happen. There can be in our lives when we express our feelings or start to build a relationship with our feelings, there can be consequences, whether that's in friendships or in the family, or like that's quite an extreme example. Something can actually happen to you. That's something to consider. It's also something to consider, and in our, because I work with ancestral trauma, I'm always curious about our lineage and our, particularly the maternal lineage, and what happens there. And that's the same thing. Very often when we look down the line, and I've asked my clients these questions before, and they even know the stories. There's one client in particular I'm thinking about where I think her grandmother was also deemed as, like, quote unquote, a hysterical woman, and, you know, quote unquote, took to the bed, and she was sick because she had feelings. So this can happen. And of course, when we're pathologized or, you know, treated like a witch, like burnt at the stake, it actually will make those feelings worse. So when we get that backlash from society or from the systems we're navigating, and there is no safety for our feelings, then it just creates the worse of a problem, okay, within the nervous system, and there's no safety. So what I'm talking about all the time is how can we build safety for feelings and emotions, even if they come out messy or sideways, because the person hasn't like gotten support with how to navigate these big feelings, okay? So very often in my line of work, I'm thinking a lot about those types of emotions, like anger is a big one, or guilt is another one, jealousy is another one, like these kind of shadow emotions that are deemed as quote unquote bad. I don't see them as bad, I just see them as maybe a little bit more uncomfortable or taboo or not accepted or, yeah, pathologized in society to not have these feelings. And therefore, we don't understand how to have a relationship with them. We don't understand how to move them through our system and move them through our body. And then we can then resist them, or there can be a lot of shame around them as well. And then what happens then is, because emotions are energy, it sends a lot of there's it takes a lot of energy to suppress emotions, more so than it does to express an emotion. And then all that energy goes into suppressing the emotion. And from the mind-body perspective, and in the pain science world, what they're now saying is that on an unconscious level, suppressed emotions are actually more threatening to the body and to the human than pain. So then what can happen is our body can then have these pain signals coming out in all different types of chronic pain and neuroplastic pain, etc., when there's a lot of repressed emotions happening from the past. Okay. So in my work, one of my jobs is to educate people on this, explain the science, teach them the skills and the tools to very gently work towards releasing these emotions in a way that's safe and gentle, and then teach them how they can do that for themselves. And yeah, and then I link that all to the menstrual cycle as well, because that's obviously a really important part of it as well. So what I have been, and again, I want to just mention the nervous system here. When we are in all of that pushing down of emotions, the sympathetic nervous system is turned on. And again, like I say in almost every episode, when our sympathetic nervous system is on, we have all this adrenaline and cortisol, and it's creating an environment of inflammation. And it's just this kind of like pain cycle that we're in. Okay, it's hard to get out of it. It's hard to get out of this by ourselves. So that's a lot of the work I'm doing with my clients and help people with, and with my groups and with myself. It's an ongoing journey. But in this particular episode, what I have become really curious about was, maybe also that we also suppress the more positive emotions, okay, like happiness or joy or gratitude or love or awe and wonder or feeling ecstatic or pleasure. These emotions or even physical sensations can also be suppressed too. And so it's something to be curious about. There's a vulnerability in allowing ourselves to really feel our emotions and even the positive emotions. Okay. I heard someone recently talking about how excitement, because it from a nervous system perspective, excitement sits in the rest and digest, but there's also a lot of sympathetic energy in excitement. Excitement is kind of like there's a little fear in there, it's not like it's not all certain. There's this playful kind of like bouncy energy in excitement, and excitement can actually, on a physical level, be quite uncomfortable. So suppressed excitement can result in anxiety or, feeling stuck, emotionally stuck. Okay. So that's something to be curious about. Is there something that maybe you're excited about that feels like a big next step for you, or something that might be possible for you, or maybe you want to do something or invest in something or buy something or start something that is kind of feels a little scary but is also exciting? That's something to be very aware of and curious about, is your relationship with your excitement and what we do with that and how we navigate that. Nervousness too. I find when I'm doing any kind of public speaking in person, I get very nervous, and I really struggle with the somatic experience of feeling nervous. I'm okay, like my physical body, I can contain other emotions quite well because I have a lot of practice with it. But nervousness for me is like is one of the really difficult ones. So that's, yeah, it's just a very somatic feeling, and I kind of like it's I don't have the privacy sometimes and the time to move through it, because you're kind of expected to be on and talk or, do the thing. I have ways that I support myself when I'm doing that and I feel nervous. And then I wrote down as well, there's also a receiving. So when we are learning, one of the menstrual cycle mastery skills that I teach in my programs is emotional clarity. And that's where it's exactly what I'm talking about. It's where we have clarity on our emotions. We know how to move them through our body. We know how to process them. We know when we're repressing or suppressing them. We're skilled with our emotions. Okay. We're skilled on a somatic physical level and a relational level as well. And we are, yeah, we might not be perfect, but we're learning these internal body skills, and emotional clarity is one of them. But when it comes to things like joy or love or being seen, being seen by someone else, there's a receiving in that. It's not like an active thing. So there's a kind of a surrender. There's a bit of like coming back into yourself and allowing someone to love you. Or maybe there's, say, if somebody you love wants to give you a gift, that can be uncomfortable. We might say like, oh no, or don't. Or if someone even wants to give you a compliment, you might just bat that off and give them a compliment back, or say, oh really, like that's not true. And we're all guilty of this. I'm certainly guilty of it. And that is something to think about, is like when we cut off our own receiving of that energy that we want to allow in. And it's love. We're allowing love and other people's appreciation of you into your system. Okay. And then love itself. If you are in love, or if there's friends you love, or people you love, or animals or nature, can you allow yourself to receive that feeling of love? And it can be so intense, and it can be one of the most, I think, one of the most vulnerable feelings to allow ourselves to feel, because in a way, for me, there's a bit of helplessness in there. It's like you're vulnerable. You're so vulnerable to to being hurt or having your heart broken or something ending, or life not being forever. And there's beauty in that. There's such touching beauty in that. And I think it makes sense to me that we might repress or suppress those emotions. I remember when, I think it's now 10 years, when my grandfather, who I was close with, passed away, and I moved through grief like I never had before. Then, at least, I remember being quite curious about my journey with grief, and particularly afterwards. And I only realized afterwards that, wow, like when I really allowed myself to move through the tunnel of grief, I never felt love in the same way that I did before. And I never really had like gotten in touch with that feeling of love that I had for him when he was alive. And even though that's sad and there's a bitter sweetness to it, that journey, the grieving process that I went through with my grandfather, feels really precious to me and feels very special to me. And I wrote a lot of poetry, and I wrote letters, and like it brought up a lot of memories as well. And I had a lot of like spiritual experiences during that time. And just, it was an incredible time for me to go through. It was really painful and really hard, but it was magic and very special. And I had all these amazing dreams, and he visited me in one of my dreams and sent me a message. And yeah, like it's just otherworldly, otherworldly. And I now know that like the other side of the coin to that grief is this really profound love that I never have like experienced in myself before. And it was only by going through that that I had access to this. And now that's mine to keep, it's mine to keep. And that experience will always be with me. And yeah, not that I would ever want to experience that kind of grief again, and I don't wish it on anyone, but, and I think every grief that people go through is different. So it's not that like, oh, I now know how to process grief and that's like it. It's not like that. But at least in that case, for me, I accessed this very deep, profound, magical, very strong, unconditional love. And that was so beautiful. So that's the podcast for today, is just a little like reflection on where we might be repressing and suppressing emotions. And in this particular case, because I know I talk a lot about the difficult emotions and supporting us through those, I also want us to think about where we might be suppressing or not taking a moment to really let in the good feels, really allow the good feelings to be there. Even gratitude, if you're like on a hike or with a bunch of friends or with your family, and you're sharing a meal, or you're with somebody you care about, or you're with your dog and you're out for a walk, or you're getting a cup of tea, just taking that moment to really like soak in the gratitude, soak in the beauty, soak in the serenity, soak in your own like solitude, your own moment with yourself, and the gratitude for that, and the joy and beauty, and then moments of love. You know, let yourself be vulnerable in those too. So those are my thoughts for today. I hope that's helpful. And do let me know if you've any thoughts on that or if you have anything else to add. And I look forward to hearing from you. Take good care. Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs, and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.